Hey there, nerds. Welcome back to another fantastic episode of Two Nerdy Dads. I double-checked this time. We are on episode 17. As always, it's Jimmy Palmquist with Mr. Applegate. Hey, Jason.
Hey, everybody.
So what do we have this week?
Well, I thought we would talk about some of the news that came across the board, and I'd love to start off with the Star Wars news and let you take the lead on that, since that is your expertise, sir.
Something's going on with Star Wars? Are they making a movie or something?
I heard rumors, but, you know, they've been talking about that for a while now, right?
So of course, I'd be the smart aleck. They have confirmed a title for the movie, which is hard to say in this day and age with rumors and all that flying about. And of course, Star Wars titles are always kind of goofy, so you never know if that's true or not. But this one came straight from their Twitter, and it's The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Everybody else has been online and seen the memes of going around with Darth Vader or whomever hitting the snooze button. I find that kind of.
I haven't seen that. That's good.
It is. It's kind of funny, but. So episode 7, The Force Awakens, to be honest, it's not thrilling, it's just a title. I've been, underwhelmed with most titles as they've come out, but this one seems particularly not up to snuff, because the other ones at least feel like they were the Flash Gordon serial kind of. This one, maybe it'll make more sense once we see the movie.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, you would think it would be The Force Reawakens, if anything.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, where's the Force, like, why is it asleep? Like, you know, they've had the Force before. It's not, it just makes it sound like it's new. But I suppose it just maybe went to sleep, you know, until the Skywalkers can bring it back, or I don't know. The title is what it is. This wouldn't be the first time they changed the title later on, though.
That is true. That is true. The interesting thing is, as you talked it out there, I just went to, well, they have Revenge of the Sith and Return of the Jedi. Return of the Jedi makes sense. Something along those lines, like Return of the Force, but I'm like, wait a minute, the Force doesn't designate whether it's good or bad. It's just the Force.
True.
So maybe that's what they're alluding to. The balance in the Force is uneven again or something.
Yeah, who knows? All I know is I'm excited for Star Wars. I'm really interested to see how they're going to fit all the older characters into the storyline, I think most of all is what we're concerned with.
Yeah, and I just think that was obviously once George Lucas being sold the rights to Disney, you were going to have more films. I mean, that was inevitable. What's fun is, though, we found out before that was even in the works, George Lucas had sat down with Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher at lunch to discuss a new movie potentially coming out. So this has been in the works. I'm thrilled that Disney's doing it. Now, I love George Lucas. I think he's a genius. I do not think writing and directing are his strong point. I think producing and, honestly, cinematography and editing are his strong point. So... Mm-hmm. The fact that Disney really has the helm here, I think, makes a lot of sense. It makes me feel that a lot better, especially that it's J.J. Abrams who resurrected Star Trek in a way that I didn't even think was possible. So I'm excited. Supposedly, I don't put much credit into this, but Anthony Daniels came out and said this is going to be the best Star Wars yet, which I'm sure we heard back with Phantom Menace when that came out. I don't know if I said that, but I'm sure somebody said that. So that's the Star Wars news. I'm super excited.
Yeah, I am too. And we've said this before. Both of us are pretty good, pretty big fans of Abrams. I think he definitely. What you like the most about it is that he does care about the franchise, and that that's important. You don't just want somebody in there to make their name off this or just there to get paid, you know. He actually cares about the subject matter, and seeing what he did with Star Trek, I think, is encouraging. I know a lot of Trekkies out there are not huge fans of the reboot, but they don't seem to be fans of much of anything.
No,
unless it's the original old school you know, Next Generation. It's those guys that they bothered me. I don't know. I guess I just have a grudge against.
Well, I think I blame Gene Roddenberry. And he's
sort
of a obtuseness. And when it comes to science fiction, I'll never forget reading like his own top 10 list of science fiction. I don't know if it was just stories or movies, but it was something along those lines that he refused to include Star Wars.
Huh.
Like, dude, you're a jerk. What's the point of that? I don't care what list you're making. If you're talking science fiction and movies, Star Wars has got to be on that list.
Yeah, I think so too. Although I will make the point that Star Wars is sort of a sci-fi fantasy. I really consider it to be a slightly different genre than the sci-fi of Star Trek. You know, I really think that they're markedly different. Not completely different. They're both sci-fi. I mean, I think he should have included Star Wars on the list. But it is interesting that Star Wars does have its own sort of niche, and you can throw other series into that as well. Flash Gordon, you mentioned, you know, the Flash Gordon serials are where Lucas got, you know, some of his inspiration for Star Wars. Whereas Star Trek has been much more sort of traditional science fiction in the lines of, say, like Isaac Asimov and that kind of stuff, where it's not as fantasy based, and that sounds sort of weird. I don't mean fantasy in regards of like the fantastic, like something that is beyond, you know, our current abilities, because all science fiction does that. But I mean the fantasy element of, you know, straight up fantasy, like Lord of the Rings, where you have this hero, the epicness of it, you know, that epic literature implement, which was also a huge part of Lucas's you know, inspiration, were those hero myths, and that's been, of course, well documented.
No, I completely agree. I think the argument I always hear is Star Trek is based more on science, and Star Wars is more of a science fiction western cowboy flick.
Yeah, I can certainly see that. It's definitely much more of a myth. It has that feel to it, an epic myth. Than Star Trek does is more of a discovery of adventure. I mean, and it you know, the ships are more naval-like, and it's all about, sure, there's conflict and things in there, just like in Star Wars, but it's got a much different setting and much different idea of what it's trying to accomplish. Not really, you know, in Star Trek, it's never really been about the struggle of good versus evil, which is at the core of Star Wars, even though there are good and evil characters in it, it certainly always has more of a political kind of a element to it. But you look at Lord of the Rings, for another example, to make my point about fantasy, is that's very much good versus evil, and it has that mythological aspect to it as well. So, anyway,
I find it more interesting because you look at my favorite Star Trek film of the original is The Wrath of Khan, and that is clearly good versus evil. Now, you don't necessarily know who's evil and who's good in the aspect of, obviously, Khan blames Kirk for being stranded on this planet and killing his family and all that, and obviously Kirk blames Khan for all these other things, so, you know, it's your perspective, but at the same time, it's definitely a balance of good versus evil.
Yeah, it complicates it more, and there's more elements to it as well, because in that film, which I agree is one of the best ones, there are all the, you know, you start to see Kirk as a very flawed character, and I think that's sort of interesting, and then of course you have the Klingons and that whole political metaphor that's going on there with the Cold War and everything as well, But yeah, I mean, I think that, in other words, to sum up, I think they both have their place. And I think, you know, I think that the argument of which is better, Star Wars or Star Trek, is sort of a futile argument, because it's like, which, you know, they're so markedly different that I don't think you can just say which one you like better, which one you're more of a fan of. But to say that one is better than the other, I think, is just sort of not fair, because you're applying the criteria of one to the criteria of the other, and it doesn't match up. really, if you wanted to compare two things that are huge science fiction things, I would compare Star Trek to Doctor Who. I feel like those two genres of science fiction are much more, or I shouldn't say genres, but two titles of science fiction are much more comparable. Speaking of which, I know you're not a huge Doctor Who fan and haven't been following it, but the Doctor Who finale just came up. The season finale just aired last Saturday. And I kind of wanted to mention it because I know a lot of our Nerd Locker followers and people who listen to the podcast are Whovians, meaning that they follow Doctor Who. And I've heard and read a lot of reactions to that. Of course, we had a new Doctor. Peter Capaldi played the 12th Doctor that we are on now. And I have to say that I was pretty impressed with him as the Doctor. I liked him. A lot of other people, I've seen actually a lot of positive responses to him as the Doctor, although initially a lot of people were pretty upset. But when you look back at it, the Doctors that have preceded him, since they sort of rejuvenated the series, have been very much younger Doctors and very much... they had the sort of ingenue part. You know, they were young and attractive, and so you had a female audience that was romantically interested in the Doctor and was finding, you know, viewing him as being, you know, attractive. And everyone has their favorite Doctor, and I think part of that is what you're, you know, how you were attracted to that Doctor, especially from the female viewership, which Doctor Who has a pretty large female viewership. In fact, if I were to venture a guess, especially over here in America, since it's really kind of crossed over relatively recently to America fandom kind of exploding, I would have to say probably about 60 to 70%, maybe even more, of the Doctor Who viewers are female in America. Now, maybe I'm overestimating that, but it seems like that to me. So, I don't know, how much do you know, Jimmy, because I don't want to sit here and babble the whole time about Doctor Who and how much have you followed it? Are you much of a fan? Or
no. I'm sorry. I
like that. I like that. No.
I have really tried to get into it.
Did you?
Yes, I've tried with I haven't tried with Peter Capaldi. I have tried with Sexton. I've tried with David Tennant. I've tried with Matt Smith, basically watching at least two episodes at the beginning of each of their arcs. And I just can't get into it.
You gave it the college try. I have to admit.
I want to be a good nerd, but clearly I can't be a good nerd. So I don't understand.
Hey, you know, like there's things for everybody. And I didn't used to get Doctor Who. I used to think of their fans as sort of, I always felt like they were elitist, you know, like they were the kind of people like, well, you just don't understand, you just don't get it. But I don't think that that's as much anymore, because frankly, I think there's more of them. I think that now that there are more of them, then people aren't as, they're not as defensive about it, you know, and don't get as upset about you not liking it. And so you don't hear that quite as much. But I jumped on, and I think I've said this before, with Matt Smith, so he's my favorite. And the reason I liked him was because I went back and I watched Tenet and the Ninth, I can't remember his name, Eccleston or something?
Yep.
And I watched those, and I liked them okay, but the reason I liked Matt Smith was he was clever, witty, and he was also sort of fun and almost childlike. I liked the writing. I just feel like Stephen Moffat is really, really clever writer. And his stories are interesting, and his dialogue is well written. And you see that he also writes the Sherlock series that I was telling you about, I think last week, that you really need to check out. So when you get a chance, it's actually, I don't know if you get BBC America, but if you do, they've been airing the older episodes, starting this last week. In preparation for the fourth season coming up. I'm not sure when that actually starts to air, but I think it's not for a while, like 2015. But But anyway, I'm a huge fan of the Sherlock series as well, and I think Stephen Moffat's pretty good. But to get back to Capaldi, I like him because they switched from his sort of ingenue role to a more paternal Doctor Who. Because he's much older, he's no longer going to be the love interest of the fans, and you're no longer going to wonder about, you know, oh, is the female companion going to fall for the Doctor, or is she going to stay true to her, you know, the person she's always in a relationship with. Which is kind of a trend and a trope that runs throughout. And so they kind of abandoned that a little bit, and I thought that the show benefited from that because I felt it was getting kind of tired the way they kept recycling that idea. So I liked that. A lot of people felt, though, that the series was kind of... you know what? The biggest problem that I read about people was actually about the companion, which was Clara. And they felt like she was just sort of blah, and I kind of agreed with that as well, that she was just kind of vanilla. I wasn't emotionally engaged to her character at all. I didn't really care what happened to her. And this season finale marked, I believe, the end of her being the Doctor's companion, so he's going to have a new companion in the next season. So I just felt like it was... While the storyline was cool, I felt like that aspect of it, I was just sort of like, meh, whatever. You know, I didn't really feel like, oh, no, she's saying goodbye, this is it, you know. And I don't know if they were going for that, but if they did, I didn't feel it. But what I did want to mention, and the reason I'm even bringing this up at all and putting you through this torture of Doctor Who talk, was that one of the main characters, whose name is the Master, and he's an arch-nemesis of the Doctor, and he's also a Time Lord, like the Doctor is. So, as you know, the Doctor, if he dies, he regenerates. Well, the Time Lord appears in this final, in the finale, the final two episodes, but he has regenerated as a woman. And so I found that to be really, really interesting. And basically everything that I read out there really was positive about that aspect of it, that he had switched genders, and it made the character, I think, even more intriguing and interesting. So I think that really that character stole the show, and a lot of people are hoping that she comes back again. So I thought it was kind of cool. Cool opportunity. I wish they would actually do that with the Doctor, have him come back in something that, like, makes a statement. You know, we've talked about this before with, you know, Falcon taking on the shield of Captain America and Thor being a woman. Like, here you've had this character since the 1950s, and not once has he been a minority of either race or gender. And I think that that's kind of a bummer, you know, because you have this opportunity to do that I really am waiting for the series to kind of, you know, give it a shot, go for it. Obviously, it'll be temporary, just like it is with Thor and Captain America, but hey, you know, make a statement. Go out there and do something with it. And so they kind of did with the villain, but, you know, not quite the same thing.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a sign of stories do that when they need an injection of something new.
Yeah.
I think Doctor Who is definitely... kind of not peaking. I think they're still climbing in international audience, but I don't think they need that yet. I don't think they should wait. I don't think they have to wait, but that just seems to be a standard of what people do, or companies do, or creators do when they want to inject some freshness.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, certainly you make that argument with the with comic books, you know, and how they'll do that. They either kill the character off or change, you know, the origin or whatever. They make some sort of change that's like, oh, so shocking, but then, of course, we all know it's only going to be temporary. I don't know. I just thought, I think it would be cool for Doctor Who to finally do that, because Doctor Who does at times make some pretty poignant social commentary, and you know, comics and other media does as well, but something that I sort of look back on and just sort of wonder as to how that hasn't happened quite yet. So, anywho, I think enough talking about Doctor Who. See what I did there? Anywho? No? A little bit? No?
Doctor Who?
Right? Let's move on. Move on. Speaking of Disney, and Star Wars and Disney and Marvel, I know you got a chance to see it. I finally got to go see it with my kids. Big Hero 6.
Awesome.
I agree. What did you like most about it? Why did you find it so entertaining?
I think it was the expectation, because I based it off the trailers, and I took my son to go see a preview screening for Nerd Locker, and I based it off the trailers being sort of kiddish with this humor between a child and a robot. Okay, get it. That's cool. James will love it. And I go in, and it was nothing like that. I think the marketing actually sucked on this film, because it's way better than the commercial.
Yeah.
I was touched with the relationship between Hero and Baymax. And when I say hero, it's not hero like H-E-R-O. It's hero like Japanese name, H-I-R-O, just so there's no confusion out there. Just their relationship, it wasn't necessarily all comedic. Yes, you had those moments. But it was really a touching story as goes through this maturation, you could say, well before his time. I mean, he's basically Doogie Howser's super genius kid who has to go through all these events. I think they're pretty satisfying conclusion in the end. And I really, really enjoyed his journey. How about you?
Yeah, I agree with that. I had a question for you and wondered about this. It was Disney Animation, but was it not Pixar then?
No. There's a fine line in there somewhere, and I don't know what it is. But there are movies that are all John Lasseter executive produced. Like Wreck-It Ralph, Frozen, and now Big Hero 6.
That's the difference.
But they're not made by Pixar.
Pixar,
their own set of...
Yeah, their own little brand of it.
Yeah, but they're all executive produced by John Lasseter.
Huh, that's interesting. Because that was something... The reason I asked is I felt that the storyline was very Pixar. But I guess you could say the same thing for Frozen. You know, there were that it has. What I loved about Pixar is that they tell really good stories that touch upon something that all of humanity can relate to. You know, whether it's Up or Toy Story. One of my favorites is Brave. And then you saw that with Frozen, with the sisters, and with the poking fun at our ideas of romantic love and things like that. And then with this one, of course, you had that really strong relationship between the brothers, the dealing with death, dealing with, the grieving process, and how it's not just about physical health, but mental health, because the purpose of Betamax was to take care of Hero because he was his patient, and that was his purpose. Mm-hmm. I thought that was intriguing, and I thought also what was interesting was we all love action and superheroes and all that stuff, but I thought that it frames that nicely within the story, where you had these people become heroes because they wanted to help out their friend.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that was a unique way to do it, and they wanted to help people. And so it wasn't just about, like, justice or revenge or, I was born with these powers, so I have to do something. You know, it just was a different twist on it. And then I just thought it was well planned out. I mean, I knew who the bad guy was, from the get-go for the most part, because I felt that the character that's the red herring you're supposed to think is the bad guy was far too obvious of a Lex Luthor character. And in fact, my son, when he came out, he was shaking his head and he's like, "Dad, I need to read more comics because I totally fell for the Lex Luthor guy being the bad guy." He's like, I just totally, was duped by that. And I was like, "Oh, okay." He just kept saying, "Yeah, I got to do some more research. I really got to freshen up those skills." And I was just cracking
that's
up.
Funny, because that's directly to what I said in my review for Nerd Locker was, I think adults will be able to figure out who the villain is, or at least who the villain isn't. But I don't think children will, because I don't think they have enough experience with stories like this where they'll be able to, sort of, quote-unquote, pick out the twist. But that's funny right. that's exactly what Cage came to. That's funny.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It cracked me up. So, and then I would have to say another one of my favorites was the character Gogo, who's played by Jamie Chung. And I love the phrase of woman up. I thought that was awesome. Instead of man up, she would say woman up, and I got a kick out of that. Also, as a little side note, I heard that she, meaning Chung, was and has been and still is very interested in playing Psylocke at some point on the silver screen. So, yeah, something to keep an eye out for and see if that ever comes to fruition. So, I like that a lot.
See if 20-second Fox can kill another mutant off? That's nice.
Yeah, right?
Well, that was the interesting thing, because I did a little research, because I was not book, and it came out right at the heart of, I guess it was the tail end when I was really collecting comic books in college. So I was like, man, I'm surprised I never heard this. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
I looked it up, and I guess the original team starred Sunfire and Silver Samurai and was a mechanism of the Japanese government.
So
I was like, very interesting and very different than what I got from the movie.
Yeah.
So I was curious, very curious, and I might have to go try and find that somewhere, because that's the other part of this story was when Disney first announced that they were going to be taking this from Marvel. Marvel supposedly, this is behind the scenes, and both companies have come out and said, no, that's not true. But supposedly Marvel came forward and said, no, we're not going to reprint this or anything. We're not going to help you market this. I think it was more of a, this is an old thing. We have no plans of doing anything with this. And people ran with it like, oh my God, the first little fight between Marvel and Disney. And it's like, no, I don't think
that's I gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
But,
trouble at home, trouble in paradise kind of a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
No, we did that 20 years ago. We don't have any chance to touch that again. So, I don't know.
Right. Yeah. So, but overall, I liked the story. I liked B-Mac. I thought he was a very fun character. You know, I laughed out loud several times,
mm-hmm.
and the kids were engaged from beginning to end, and they were amused and having a good time. So I think perfect, that kind of defines the best family movie. Strong writing,
yes.
Both adults and kids are engaged and involved, and it has something to say, too, you know, some sort of a message of some kind.
Yes,
so I thought that was great.
Agree.
Yeah,
completely
definitely
agree.
Recommendation. For our listeners to go out and catch that. Okay, all right. So what else was news? I know there was one more thing we were going to talk about. And
well, because Disney, as far as if I remember correctly, Disney has bought out the whole nerd world. So let's stick with Disney here first.
Right.
Another one. Still with animation, but it's with, like you were saying, the Pixar side of things. They have announced a Toy Story 4.
What? I'm so shocked.
What are your thoughts on this one?
you know, I'm going to say something really mean. And I'm doing this more for shock value than anything. I think that the toys should have died in the third one. I'm just a mean, dark guy like that sometimes. I don't know. I liked 3. Okay. I thought it was all right.
What?
I liked 1 and 2. You
it
loved
was,
3?
Oh, man, 3 was so touching. It was amazing.
When they're all grabbing hands and stuff and they're about to go in, I was like, oh, this is heart-wrenching, right? They're all going to meet their doom, but they're going to do it together. And then, but I thought that's what should have happened, but I'm just dark and mean.
But usually I'm jerk. I don't know what's going on here, but when the claw comes down and saves whatever alien dudes who were in the claw machine, I'm like, this is perfect.
It was very fitting. I'm mostly being facetious here, but
your heart is French, man. It's just chilling.
I know.
I know.
It's because I'm already seeing Christmas stuff in Target right after. Actually, before the Halloween stuff was even gone, there was Christmas stuff out there. No, it's I jest for the most part. I thought that was a nice ending, and then you had, of course, the mean kid from the first movie, his name close to me, is driving the garbage truck, and it was very cyclical. So for 4, I just don't know. I mean, because of how cyclical 3 was, it seemed like it was a good place to leave it.
It was definitely a perfect place to drop off, because Andy basically recycles the toys, so now they have a newfound life. They're not going to be stuck in the attic. They're not going to be in the garbage. They're not going to be in a garage sale. He gives them to somebody who we've had a relationship with in the movie because she was at that daycare center. But I think that's the thing I like is we have characters that we all love. They're not age. They can't age in the way that a live action Star Wars is a great example. Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, they're all going to age past the point of what they were in the original movie. We don't have with Toy Story, so we can see these characters again. They're going to put them in a new picture. And yeah, Andy's always going to be in the back of our minds, but really, Andy was never a big part of the story in what the toys were doing.
Yeah.
So,
but I
back on my Star Wars, you make more films, two of them, but more than likely, I'm going to like them.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it seems like they've got an uphill climb a little bit here with four because they, where are they going to go? You know, like, what's going to be the new thing? And we don't know because they haven't, you know, released anything except for that they are going to do it. But I just, it reeks to me of this is our moneymaker. You know, we can't possibly not churn these out. Look at how much we make in marketing and everything else. You know, all the toys and all that jazz. And Tom Hanks. I mean, what else? You know, what has that guy done lately besides being Woody? You know, and I just sort of, I'm slightly skeptical, I guess is the best way to put it, because of how three left off, and I really did think it was a, you know, perfect way to wrap that up.
Sure.
But we all knew this was coming. I love how in the second Muppet movie they talked about Toy Story 4. They said they have some little comment in one of the songs about they're just waiting to do Toy Story 4, which was, but we all knew, like, yeah, this is, it's going to come. But I'll just wait and see. I do like some of the newer characters. One of my favorites is, I think it's Mr. Prickle Pants, the hedgehog actor with the lederhosen on.
He's Timothy Dalton at his finest.
Yes. Yeah. It just cracked me up, you know. He's an actor. So he amused me. And I mean, his name is Prickle Pants, so you can't beat that.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued to see how that's gonna work out. And yeah, I'm a fan of Toy Story. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, that's the other funny part is I remember when they announced two, and I'm like, there's no way. There's no way they can hold up to what happened in one. And they did.
True.
And I'm like, that's pretty amazing. And then they announced three. It's like, oh, my God, now they're just getting money grubbing, whatever. There's no way. And they did, and you're like, okay, well, fooled me, okay. So I'm not going to fall for it again. I'm like, you know what? They did there. Disney and Pixar have a great track record of late, especially Pixar. John Lasseter knows how to make the movies. He's going to come back and direct this one, and he did the first two. So I got to believe something good is going to come out of it. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. I have to say, I did see a preview. I don't know if you saw this. At Big Hero 6 for the next Pixar movie, I think it was, called, like, Emotions or something, where all of these, there's the central character seems to be this girl, and, like, each emotion that she has, like anger and sadness and everything, are, like, individual characters that are living within her or something. It's kind of hard to say. That, to me, looked really, really stupid. I don't know why, and maybe I need to give it a chance, but I was really surprised.
I'll have to look that up because
Pixar's
next one is The Good Dinosaur or Bad Dinosaur, whatever the dinosaur movie that was supposed to come out this year originally, but it got pushed back for whatever reason. And this is sort of, in my opinion, the first huge hiccup Pixar has had. Something was going on, and we're not getting the full story. But I'm not familiar with what you're talking about, so I'll have to look that up.
Well,
interesting.
The only reason I think it's got to be Pixar is they show at the beginning of the preview, they're showing clips from the other movies, like Finding Nemo and you know, a bunch of the others, and they're talking about the emotions that you're feeling, you know, during those movies, and then they start to show you these characters that are those emotions, like anger and fear and the rest. And it seems like a cute idea, but I just don't, you know, where it's gonna depend is the story about the girl going to be compelling enough, then I think the rest of it'll probably work okay. But I still say I agree with you. I mean, let's just sort of trust in Pixar a little bit here, because they do some of the best movies. And I'm talking movies, period. Not just animated movies. Like, Up, one of the best stories, period, that we've seen in the last 10 years, probably. You know, it's right up there with a lot of those, you know, in a lot of really, really good films. You know, not just movies. I like to use that word when I'm talking about, you know, motion pictures that have substance to them. I like the word film. And movies can be anything that, that is entertaining on a screen that you paid way too much for popcorn to watch. So, cool. Well, any parenting wins or fails this week? Because we were doing that. We got away from it. And I think trying to force the parenting fails thing is kind of difficult to do because, you know, we're not completely incompetent parents. So we can come up with some as they sort of come along. But a parenting win you want to share maybe in the, you know, in the last month or so or even like Halloween or anything like that?
Well, I've got a combo pack that actually happened yesterday. And luckily my wife was too busy with coaching that she couldn't take pictures. But Madison has a kite. It's a SpongeBob SquarePants kite. And she's been wanting to fly it for a long time. So I'm like, all right, Madison, let's go to the park. James came with too. And we'll fly this kite. And got the kite, have the string, in an open field. I'm stoked. We're in Vegas, which is usually windy. There was zero wind.
Right, oh, no.
So I'm running back and forth on this field. It's probably about, I don't know, two football fields. So, you know, 200, maybe even 300 yards. I am not. I'm a nerd. I am a nerd. Once upon a time, I was a jock, but I'm a nerd. I am not equipped to be running as much as I did yesterday to get this stupid kite in the air. It did not get in the air, maybe 10 feet off the ground at most. I don't know. It was pretty pathetic watching me run around. The kids loved it, though. They were trying to. The kids were thrilled that we went to fly this stupid kite that didn't get in the air. So it was a failure on the kite part, but I feel like it was a parenting win because the kids had fun.
Yeah, no doubt. I like that you called that a combo because a failure to get the kite up, but not a, you know, a failure with regards to entertaining the kids and giving it the old college try. So no, you didn't have to worry about one of the trees or anything, though, did you? Or were there large cacti by where you were flying the kite?
Let's just say, I wish I could have gotten it high enough to get in a tree, but we couldn't even do that.
That's hilarious. Well, good shot. Yeah. Well, I would have to say that we had a parenting win this weekend. It was my son's 11th birthday on Friday, and we have been so busy with doing, you know, all kinds of things. There was even a wedding on Saturday, and so we kind of had to spread it out in, like, increments over the weekend and do a little bit here, a little bit there. But he had a great birthday, and the thing that sort of struck me that I wouldn't call this a parenting fail by any means, but was sort of a parenting moment was thinking about, he's 11. How many more of these, like, kid kind of birthdays am I going to have with him, you know? Maybe two, you know, at most, because he'll be 13 in 2 years. So, you know, maybe even not even one next year. But this was an enjoyable one. He had kind of a Doctor Who themed birthday, got a lot of Doctor Who stuff. He just sort of started to get into Doctor Who, so it's been kind of his thing. He especially likes the Daleks. And I'd have to say my parenting win was his cake. He had an ice cream cake, and I took one of his drawings that he did last year of a Dalek that he had colored on a piece of paper and took a picture of it and got that put onto the birthday cake that he had.
Nice.
So he was thrilled about that. So yeah, it was a cool moment. I was glad I was able to do well there and impress him. And it was cool. It was really cool. But enjoy those, listeners, you know, enjoy the birthdays. I know they can be stressful, they can be hectic. There's a lot of work that goes into them and all that stuff. But You only have so many, man, before they're going to not really want you to do anything. And they're like, Dad, can I just go out with my friends? You know, those days are coming, man. They're coming.
Sounds awful.
Yeah, right? I think I had posted that at one point. Does anybody have a time machine? Because, you know, I just want to kind of, or even just like slow it down a little bit, not even go back at all. So, cool. Well, lots of cool stuff that we discussed today.
For sure.
Yeah, I think successful episode 17. My goodness, talking about time flying by.
We're almost legal.
I know, right? How exciting is that?
Exactly. One more week,
and then we can go buy cigarettes, right? I don't know.
Vote.
I don't smoke.
We can vote.
We can vote. Oh, okay. All right. That's what you meant by legal. All right, man. You have a good one. And everybody out there, you know where to find us. Jimmy, tell them anyway, just in case they forgot.
Exactly. We are on nerdlocker.com. We are on YouTube/2NerdyDads. We're down there, just our own channel by ourselves. You can also check that out on YouTube Nerd Locker channel. We're on iTunes. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and, of course, the website, nerdlocker.com. We're all over the place. Definitely hit us up if you've got ideas, things you want to talk about. Let us know. Again, parenting wins and fails. We always want to hear that. Or if it's just general things that, hey, you know what, we're really interested in blah, blah, blah. Let us know. We'll look it up and talk about it if we don't know about it. So let us know. Otherwise, have a nerdy week.
Have a nerdy week.